It is our joy this morning to welcome you to our annual tradition here at Marsh Chapel, the Sunday before graduation, to invite four graduating seniors to reflect on their lives of faith during their time here at Boston University. We invited the entire graduating class to submit reflections. 18 were submitted and 4 were chosen. We hope for those of you for whom graduation is a future endeavor that when your time comes, you too will submit and participate in this wonderful tradition at Boston University. This morning, I have the great privilege to introduce first Mr. Tyler Sitt. Tyler is graduating from the College of Communications with a degree in Communications Studies. He is from Chaska, Minnesota. He has served for the past 4 years as a Marsh Assistant and Ministry Associate here at Marsh Chapel. We are greatly pleased to see him graduate, even as we are deeply sad to see him go. Tyler is headed off in the fall to the Candler School of Theology at Emory University, where he will be pursuing a Master of Divinity degree as he moves on toward ordination. Welcome, Tyler.
Thank you. God be in my end and in my departing. I've spent 4 years at Marsh Chapel with some hiatus in the middle for living abroad. The worship service we are sharing today has followed me through my college career, regardless the continent I was on. And for the sake of our time, which is now, and for the sake of our place, which is here, I would like to frame my beliefs in the elegant rhythms of the Marsh Chapel worship service. And what better place do we have to begin but the end? From this call of response, let us step back to the prompt. God be in my head. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I believe we can be a benediction for each other, and in so doing, witness a gospel in the present tense. I believe the Spirit lives in the hearts of all, and we cannot begin to understand the nature of God without the participation of all. I mentioned I lived abroad, but surely the most important travel I have ever done was to visit the temples of everybody, to sit in the pews of another person's understanding of God and glissando in reverence of another person's chorus. The past 4 years gave me conversations with people who envision God from a different angle. My Orthodox Jewish brothers, looking back through history. My Buddhist sisters, looking around and within. My Catholic friends, looking... Well, I'm not really sure, but they are indeed beside me, and I cherish them like I do my Muslim classmates and my Hindu roommates and the debates I have with the swell of atheism that characterizes this generation. What a benediction they are to me, and how earnestly I try to represent Christ to them. I believe that our offertory can be a social one, that when we are with each other, we can bless each other just as we have had blessings poured upon us. For it is when we are with each other that we can find our place within creation that has already been worshiping. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. It is when we walk in offering and sacrifice to God that we can hear each other, that the prayers of the people can find volume, and how greatly the capacity of our hearts enlarge when, kneeling next to each other, we can support the whole world and work to end suffering that we can only touch by prayer. And for the suffering that we will encounter once we step outside of this sanctuary, we orient ourselves right, crying, "Lead me, Lord, for I have lost my inspiration. Lead me in thy righteousness, for we have rejected our liberation. Make thy way plain before my face, O you, our object of adoration." And after such contemplation, I find I can't help but preach about it, to share a gospel with my tongue, but also to deliver a sermon with my living, that each song I sing can be like David, that each lesson I bring can be like Paul. Not that either of those guys were particularly holy, which works out for me because I'm not either. The good news, though, is that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love for us. Now all we need to do is prove that we can love each other. I believe that each morning gives us opportunity to begin worship anew, just like this morning, how we gather here, now, where the dawn of the east meets the twilight of the west and the cool of the north touches the calm of the south. We follow the same worship rhythm, but the song changes with every breath. Amen.
Our second This I Believe speaker this morning is Miss Monica Castillo. Monica is also no stranger to Marsh Chapel, having been part of this worshiping community for the past 3 years. Monica is graduating after only 3 years of study here at Boston University with a degree from the College of Arts and Sciences in Sociology. She hails from Tampa, Florida, and her future beyond this next week at this point is yet indeterminate. Welcome, Monica.
I never suffered growing pains when I was younger. If you can't see me behind the podium today, you now know why. Childhood didn't quite prepare me for the lessons I learned in college. I wasn't challenged out of my comfort zone often. I went to middle school with practically the same people and teachers as I did when I left for college. Change was not something I was used to, but it was something I desired. On my own for the first time, I felt truly lonely at college. Seeking to keep some regularity in my life, I came to Marsh Chapel for services on a very windy but sunny day. I dragged my parents along to a service they said reminded them of the Phantom of the Opera. Yes, the music was new for me too, but the message was similar. After the service, they offered a trip to the JFK Library, and I decided to tag along. And along I stayed. It was in Marsh I found a home away from home. I ran here when news of the stock market crash hit, and since then, nearly every crisis I've gone through has ended with me coming here for help. Within the month of classes, I lost one of my youth pastors from home and ended up in the sanctuary crying. I wasn't alone for long before someone came and talked with me. I found other people just as interested as I was to find friends. I started to joke that Marsh had adopted us bratty freshmen. One friend and I even made a Marsh family tree, with Dean Hill and his wife Jan as our grandparents, Elizabeth as our aunt, Ray as our uncle, and Brother Larry as, well, our brother. To further the joke, I started to write the Thurman Room couch number 1 as my address in the red book in the pews. It saddens me to walk away from all this after only 3 years. After all the traveling, I don't want to go anywhere else. I want to stay here, in Boston, at Boston University. In my case, I won't even graduate with the girls I was so closely friends with. They still have a year to go, and I am leaving early. My family is coming out from the South to see me graduate, but I want my Northern family, my Marsh family, to be there too. Perhaps it's this kind of sadness that acts like a growing pain, letting me know that it's time to move on. I fear that to graduate is to lose them, but wherever this graduation process drops me off, I hope to still have my faith in this family, because that's what Marsh has taught me. Not faith in the good book, I've had that for a while. No, Marsh has given me back my faith in the family, faith in friendships, and restored my faith in nearly everyone around me. Perhaps I will be able to walk away from here as I did my home in Florida, assured that even if I move, or they move, that we will always have the times we once shared in a place we called home. Perhaps these growing pains would at least lend me an inch or two in time for graduation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our third speaker this morning is Ms. Rachel Hassinger. Rachel is graduating from Metropolitan College with a degree in interdisciplinary studies. She lives here in Boston, Massachusetts, and works at the Boston University School of Public Health. Welcome, Rachel.
Good morning. I am Rachel Hassinger. Thank you for including me in your service today. I started this journey to graduation many years ago at a different school. Now I am finishing here at Boston University. I am a woman of faith. I used to believe in a God that heals. I still do, but it hasn't been easy. I grew up a believer. I led the youth group and studied the Bible with my peers and my mentors. I joined ecumenical and other student religious groups at my previous college. Unfortunately, I was wounded. My experiences with extreme anti-gay hatred and fear catapulted me out of the church. While this may not change soon, I trust that although my life at BU, my student life here, did not lead me through Marsh Chapel or other religious groups, my final days as an undergraduate student are just the beginning of my future, grounded in a faith that knows no boundaries, a faith that transcends creed, class, or nationality. This I believe. I believe in a goddess of suffering, a god of true life. I believe in a spirit of justice, a father-son, mother-daughter tree of life. I believe in a faith that shatters and is yet still restored. I believe in a Jesus that lived on this earth and suffered beyond human understanding. I believe when an officer shot and killed Dan Roy Henry, a black 20-year-old Pace University student who was sitting in his car outside a New York bar last year, our Yahweh mourned. And when that same cop was crowned Officer of the Year, we can hear her wail in sadness and rage. I believe that God created each of us in her image, that race and gender are built by humans to explain oppression based on color, country, gender expression, sexuality, or creed. I believe that a person who steals for bread is first and foremost hungry, that we as a society are accountable for acquiescing to that system that leaves that one and a million more starving and underfed. I believe that God knows no borders, God knows no walls. If we listen to the oppressed, such as the Palestinians whose homes are being bulldozed in Gaza, the Jews who came before whose lives were shattered, the Muslims targeted by xenophobia and bigotry, or the persecution of the brown-skinned today in the name of so-called secure communities. We can hear our Lord calling us to turn over the tables in our temples of greed. I believe in a love that seeks justice, in a love that kindles passion and purpose in those that know her. I believe that God blesses everyone. God does not only bless America or Boston University or the wealthy, the light-skinned, the able-bodied, or the straight. God blesses all. I believe that no matter what humans conjure up as creed, that the single most important truth resides in these words from our Lord Jesus. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. RuPaul, host of Logo's hit show RuPaul's Drag Race, says it another way. If you can't love yourself, how in the hell are you going to love someone else? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Fourth and final speaker this morning is Ms. Radha Patel, graduating from the College of Arts and Sciences with a double major in biology and religion. Radha comes to us from Cornwall, Connecticut, and she is headed toward applying for physician's assistant graduate programs in the future. Welcome this morning, Radha.
Thank you, Brother Larry. 2 weeks left. Left of our undergraduate education.
Two weeks left of our undergraduate education, and the first sunny day of the season upon us. A new friend and I sat on the BU beach. Our professor had just mentioned the saying, "All paths lead up the same mountain." While my friend had recently heard a similar adage, the view is the same at the top of the mountain. Thus began our debate on whether the two maxims had the same significance.
This moment was a triumph for me in more than one way. Not only had I picked up on a nuance in the sayings, but because I myself confessed what I believed to be true. All paths up one mountain suggests everyone looks for a universal divineness believed to be at the top, while climbing for a view highlights a moment for contemplation. A concerned underclassman once asked me if I ever felt myself overwhelmed, depressed, or confused by deciding to double major in religion and biology. It was the first time I was asked to consider my personal beliefs and how they were affected by studying religion and science, and I was scared. Until then, I carefully isolated what I studied from my faith. Being a student, there's an understanding that we are to be the pragmatics in society. Better to be one while at the forefront of a progressive one. I wasn't ready for my faith to confront what I was learning. I was frightened by the possibility of coming to the logical conclusion to reject God. And I was ashamed to admit, if he did exist, I did not want to be punished by God for rejecting him. Instead, it was easier to shunt those niggling reservations. I even thought to myself I would reflect when I had the time. I was too busy studying, making friends, traveling, to be able to peacefully think. Whenever there was a quiet moment, the conflicts between reason and faith screamed to be heard in my head. Obviously, this wasn't successful. And then, slowly, in the sanctity and secrecy of my own mind, I began to pose questions, at first in an assumed format. Humans are only given so much responsibility because God believes us to be capable, right? God ensures that in the end, it is a just world, right? I then became more ambitious, and I asked, is there a paramount realization experience to be had if we meditate hard enough? Should authentic reactions of hate, jealousy, and anger, though facets of humanity, be denied because they are ugly? Are all faiths taking different paths up the same mountain? Learning and inquiring has threatened my faith. However, it is thrilling, and I have developed a more nuanced view of it. Questioning is strenuous and a blessing. You are your own most judgmental critic. But in this way, once you form your fluid convictions, you understand the path you took to get there. This I believe. As you ascend the mountain, having absolute static principles is easy. Allow yourself to doubt and form dynamic beliefs. While it may make you feel vulnerable, it is right before then that you see the view.